1230 AM, W255DN Wausau. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Vice President Vance meets with Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu in Jerusalem today as a fragile ceasefire in Gaza holds. At an appearance last night, CBS's Holly Williams asked,
what do you think the likelihood is that it will last long term? If you had to put a number on it, a percentage.
Can I say with 100% certainty that it's going to work? No. But you don't do difficult things by only doing what's 100% certain.
President Trump's nominee to head the Office of Special Counsel, Paul Ingrassia, is out. CBS's Scott McFarlane.
Ingrassia faced criticism after Politico reported he sent racist text messages to a group chat.
Angry New Yorkers face off with masked ICE agents rounding up suspected undocumented street vendors selling alleged fakes in Chinatown.
None of this is about public safety. It is about fear and chaos.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
For WXCO News, I'm Isabella Nieto. Gas prices fell 6.7 cents over the last week for an average across the state of $2.61. Melissa Kay reports.
This is over 28 cents per gallon lower than a month ago and more than 32 cents per gallon lower than this time last year. Notably, the national average has fallen below $3 per gallon for the first time since 2020. Officials at GasBuddy say COVID was the primary driver of low prices at that time. Patrick DeHaan, head of petroleum analysis at GasBuddy, said OPEC Plus deserves much of the credit for the current trend of lower prices. They've steadily raised oil production for much of 2025. Barring any major disruptions, gas prices are likely to stay under $3 for much of the next few months.
Next year's election for Wisconsin Attorney General looks like it may be a rematch. Savannah Tomei Olson has the details.
Attorney General Josh Call already announced he's running to keep his seat after speculation he might throw his hat in the ring to become governor. Now, Eric Toney has joined the race. In 2022, he was the GOP nominee for attorney general. Toney has been the district attorney for Fond du Lac County since 2012. He was also the former president of the Wisconsin District Attorneys Association. Toney says his top priorities include addressing the fentanyl crisis, changing crime lab practices, and targeting violent crime in Milwaukee. When Call and Toney ran against one another in 2022, it was a close race. Call won with a 1.3% margin. For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
Tune in to 98.9 at the top and bottom of the hour for local newscasts. Or find more news anytime at WXCO.FM. I'm Isabella Nieto for WXCO News.
The Packers prepare for Pittsburgh. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. NFL, it's the Packers and the Steelers this week on Sunday Night Football. But head coach Matt LaFleur reminding us they're playing the Steelers, not Aaron Rodgers.
We're playing the Pittsburgh Steelers, who happen to have Aaron Rodgers. I mean, it's as simple as that. That is for you guys to talk about. We've got a lot of respect and love for Aaron. I mean, what he's done here is a Hall of Famer. This game is not about that. It's about going to Pittsburgh, Sunday Night Football. Our guys will be jacked up. It's about the Green Bay Packers versus the Pittsburgh Steelers.
NBA, it's the Bucks against the Wizards tonight in Milwaukee and the debut of Miles Turner and what role he'll play on the Bucks this season.
As a center, you know, as an anchor in the back part of the defense, it's like, what you're supposed to do? The feedback has been phenomenal. It's like, you know, you're right. I don't even realize when I'm doing it. They're saying, yo, we need more of that. You know, it's not something we've had, you know, consistently in the past. Like, we need a voice. We need someone to always, like, step up and speak. So I'm just taking it on.
That's the Bucks' Miles Turner with Sports on Mike Clemens.
Farm news that impacts you and your community from the Midwest Farm Report throughout your day on 98.9 WXCO.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Cloudy, blustery, and cold today with an isolated light shower or two, highs only in the mid-40s. For tonight, breezy and chilly with lows in the mid-30s. On Thursday, partly sunny, still breezy, and cool with highs only in the upper 40s. Right now, it's 42.
This is Robert Pilot, host of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we talk about Native issues like treaties, protecting Mother Earth, and holding our elected officials accountable. You'll also hear from Turtle Island voices like Arvina Martin, State Representative Heather Keeler, Ruth Anna Buffalo, Dr. Anthony Stately, State Senator Mary Kunish, Robert Lilligren, and Bob Blake. Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
As veterans, we're no strangers to helping others.
That's what we were taught, service before self.
But we do have one question for the veterans listening.
When is the last time you reached out for help?
If you or someone you know needs resources, whether it's for stress, finances, employment, or mental health, don't wait. Reach out.
Find more information at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach.
Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the Ad Council.
Maggie Dawn.
Governor Evers has sounded the alarm. 700,000 Wisconsinites might lose emergency food assistance. We discuss with Amanda Martinez and William Park Sutherland of Kids Forward. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6. Bull Falls Radio, WXCO.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
And good morning. Welcome back. Nice to have you here up north. It's 7:06 on a Wednesday morning, October 22nd. Parker Olson producing things down in Madison, A2. Ellie Bordeaux, Up North News newsletter editor, joining us in just a sec. And then we'll also be talking this hour to the president of the Viroqua School Board about the school funding system in the state. It stinks. That includes this new state budget, where the best Republicans would agree to with Governor Tony Evers was some additional school funds in some parts of the budget, but basically a 0% increase in general state aid, and inflation's not 0%. So that's making it harder for school districts to avoid another round of referendums. And so we'll talk about the system. We've got Civic Media sports editor Jimmy Kuska coming up. And then looking ahead at 8:35, Dr. Kristen Lyerly will join us. Normally she's here Mondays and Fridays, but is going to join us because yesterday there was a virtual press conference with a bipartisan group of Wisconsin lawmakers working on legislation that would increase access to resources and education about menopause. And they were joined by actress Halle Berry, who has been a menopause activist, trying to get people to learn more about symptoms, treating them, research, things like that. And so we'll play back some of her remarks and talk to Dr. Lyerly about that from the standpoint of an OBGYN. That, again, coming up at 8:35. Temperatures around the state right now range from 37 degrees in Manitowish Waters and Solon Springs to 48 degrees in Shawano. Pretty much all of Wisconsin is at some point in the mid-40s right now. It's 41 here in Chippewa Falls. And again, things will be getting a bit more seasonable for temperatures after today's last shot of a little bit of rain before things move out of the area and we get some pleasant weather for the rest of the week. Rob says, good morning from Tigerton. It's cloudy with showers and 43. We got about a tenth of an inch of rain overnight. He says it felt like November with a high of 43 and a wind chill of 38 for much of the day yesterday. Says he has a meeting in Shawano today and some errands to run. It may be one of the first times that Rob has not talked about mowing, although I don't doubt that he, like us here, still has some mowing jobs, mostly to grind up the leaves and mulch them up and get them out of the way. But again, you know, we've got temperatures in the mid-40s by and large around Wisconsin. So stay inside, pour yourself a cup of coffee, and read up on that Up North News daily newsletter. Sign up for it at upnorthnewswi.com. Ellie Bordeaux puts it together for us and joins us now on Wednesday mornings. Ellie, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm great. How are you guys?
That's good. It's nice to see you. It's nice to have you here today talking about the things that you put in. And let's start with something local that you asked people to submit ideas or photos about, and that would be pizza places in their area. And I get the feeling a lot of people, if they've got a place they really like, there's like a sense of pride. They want to tell you about it. How was the response?
Yes, absolutely. I love getting responses. I love our locals love section because it allows us to highlight some small businesses around the state, those kinds of things. But I do think that is very true. People have a lot of pride in their pizza places around the state. I got so many emails and so many responses of people saying, this is the best pizza place in the state. This is so great. You need to check this out. So many recommendations. We've got some from Fond du Lac, Janesville, Eau Claire. So we, every Friday, have a different Locals Love section. And last week was pizza. This upcoming week, we're doing burgers. So be sure to send those in. I want to hear about your best burger places. I want to know where to check out around the state. So it's really great.
I'm guessing, as I was looking at some of the reviews, like Paul here says about Wisco's in Eau Claire, it's what I like to call the most Wisconsin place I've ever been to. There is also axe throwing, which is also very fun. Their Midwest deep dish pizza is the absolute best. I am not aware of any place, Paul, other than that place that combines pizzas and axe throwing. I'm still not really sure how we've allowed axe throwing in public places like restaurants, but was that one of the more unusual ones that you saw of everything that was put in?
Yeah, I would say that one was a little bit more unusual. I have also never heard of the combination of axe throwing and pizza in the same place, but hey, to each their own. And if it works, it works. So yeah. I like it.
There was Harry's Prohibition Bistro in Sheboygan that said the moment you walk in and smell the wood-fired pizza oven and the 1920s decor brings you back in time. My favorite is the walnut pizza with Italian sausage. The burst of cream cheese with each bite adds an extra great flavor. From Merrill. Merrill is the person who submitted this. That's new on so many levels. The walnut, the cream cheese. I'm sure you heard some other interesting flavor combinations in pizza.
Yeah, we've got another one from Elkhart Lake about a beef marsala pizza. That's something that's I have never heard of before, but hey, sounds great. That sounds like something I need to check out. So I'm interested.
So not only can we talk about the local pizza places, but the different pizza combinations. And before we get going with folks here, when we talk about pizza combinations, you don't have to send in the Hawaiian one, the right. Ham and the pineapple. That's right up there with candy corn. It's going right into the garbage can.
No,
just Parker, come on, man.
You're killing me.
I can't say I agree with that either.
So y'all can have whatever weird takes you want, but I want to hear them. We've already heard that one. We've heard that one to death. But now we're hearing these new ones. A beef marsala. I've heard of chicken marsala, but beef marsala pizza. And then you've got the walnut pizza with Italian sausage and a little bit of cream cheese. So what else we got out there? I definitely invite comments coming out. Oh, no, not Tony, too. Tony, pineapple was made for pizza.
Oh, no.
Oh, Tony. God, we're going to miss you and all your comments you used to send to us. Anyway, so now that I've opened up that can of sardines or whatever else you like on your pizza, people have really taken to it. What are you looking for next?
So we're looking for burgers next. So this Friday, we're going to be featuring your favorite burger spots. I want to hear them. Send them in. Send us some unique burgers that you have seen around the state. What are some weird flavor combinations that maybe you wouldn't think about? Kind of like a beef marsala pizza. What would be the equivalent of that to a burger?
I will say that in the Madison area, one of the things I miss is at the Great Dane. And the Great Dane has a burger patty and a brat patty. And then, like I think it's fried onions and something else. And it's on a pretzel bun. And I might have to leave and drive down to Madison for lunch. That's just, I miss it so much. Yeah. I got a couple of great places up in Eau Claire. There's the Amber Inn. Again, just this little tiny corner bar, but just amazing burgers off their little griddle there behind the bar. Corton House makes great burgers too. So yeah, we definitely want everybody else's favorites. Ellie, you got a favorite in the Oconomowoc area?
I'm trying to think. I would say, honestly, my favorite is probably, I would say the most unique is Crafty Cow in Oconomowoc. They've got like a peanut butter burger, which is
very
interesting. But I know it sounds weird, but it works. So they have a location, I believe, in Milwaukee as well. But yeah, I would say Crafty Cow is like our biggest spot in Oconomowoc for burgers. But I do think too, it's like kind of the smaller underground places that also sometimes have the best, like you don't expect it, but for some reason it's the best.
You remind me that also in downtown Eau Claire, the Livery has a unique burger. I haven't had it for a bit, but I know that there's like some pepper jelly that's on it. And I forget what kind of if cheese is on there. Parker, anything from a Whitewater standpoint?
There is a place in Whitewater that has a peanut butter burger. I can't remember where it is. I think it's at Fat Jack's. But yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Fat Jack's. There you go.
Okay. So there you go. We want your burger places. We want to know exactly what it is that makes them so good, the weird flavor combinations. We'll definitely take it all. Here's one from the livery. It's gorgonzola cheese and a bacon onion balsamic jam. A bacon onion balsamic jam with arugula on a brioche bun.
Ooh, now, that sounds good.
It is. I'd rather have the pretzel, but I am not. Brioche to me is like too sweet for a hamburger bun. Mm-hmm. I want that as like, you know, French toast. That brioche is the best for that.
That's
really
fair.
Really went into food talk here today, didn't we?
Okay, well, I guess so.
Talked about pizza. We've talked about burgers. Let's talk about fish, but we're not eating these ones because they're made of paper. So.
Oh.
Right. Yeah. So in July, people from around the world participated with the Sierra Club of the Wisconsin chapter, and they set the world record for the largest display of origami fish ever created with 86,262 origami fish. And so the display was set up in the Urban Ecology Center in Milwaukee, with each one with a message to shut down Line 5. And so now that display is moving to the state capitol, moving to Madison. So they're looking for volunteers to help with setup. They're looking for help with preparing for the display. They're looking for people to come attend the press conference. That'll be later. So all that information is in the newsletter as well. It's just a big message of for state lawmakers of a call to shut down Line 5. So that's why they've done that.
We had that in our on the radio show and in the newsletter back in May, as by setting this world record for collecting origami fish, they could call attention to Enbridge's Line 5, how they want to reroute it around the Bad River Reservation. But the tribal community is like, well, yeah, you can go around it, but you're still putting a pipeline through the Bad River, you know, watershed. And so the court fights go on all of that. And so this was their way of calling attention. They had a website, fishforfuture.org, again, fishforfuture.org, where you can read more about the collection and everything they want to do now to display it. So a nice little follow-up on there. And then finally, Ellie, you've got a new feature called Civic Check-In. As we described it in the last hour, there's a lot of big words out there, authoritarianism, fascism, oligarchy, things like that. And they sound like, you know, unattainable, but it really is important in this day and age to brush up on these terms, because they demonstrate, you know, that there's some real threats to democracy and freedom in this country.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's why we wanted to include this section, is a lot of these words are being thrown around a lot more recently. And some of these words, I would say people maybe haven't heard since high school, like since their high school civics class, you know? And so I think it's important for all of us to brush up on our knowledge of different political words and understanding what it means for you in your daily life. Are these patterns that you're seeing now, like being able to come to recognize those on in your own way and that kind of thing. So today we focused on an oligarchy and talking about the different types of oligarchies, what that means, the patterns to recognize. So every week we take a different type of term and kind of define it, go in depth with it, and then ask for your thoughts on what do you see in our day and age now.
And I think that's a great thing to do, because again, words can get thrown about without having them be technically correct. For me, the most glaring example are all the folks on the political right who love to scream socialism, that this is socialist, clearly demonstrating that they're not completely grasping what socialism actually means, but they love to throw out that big word. Well, if people are going to be saying that things are perhaps similar to an oligarchy or fascist, it might be important to, again, brush up on what it means to see that in that context, those words are being correctly used right now, unlike socialism over the past, you know, decade or two. So to read more about that and everything else that Ellie Bordeaux puts together, head over to upnorthnewswi.com and click subscribe up in the top banner. Ellie, thank you so much. Good to talk to you.
Yeah, thank you. Have a good one.
Yep, you as well. Appreciate it very much. Let's take a look at sports now at 7:19, where, again, we've got just one little note I wanted to pass along. The Packers taking on Aaron Rodgers at Pittsburgh Sunday at 7:20. Pregame starting at 5 on several Civic Media stations. A homeroom segment is coming up in 15 minutes. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is Bull Falls Radio, WXCO.
I'm Ryan.
I'm Paul.
We're from the Wausau Business Show, 100% action-packed Wausau every Saturday, 8 to 9 on Bull Falls 98.9 WXCO. We're also available on Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts.
You're nailing it. Keep going.
WausauBusiness.com. We broadcast from the tippy top of Rib Mountain. So we'll see you Saturday, Wausaunians.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening and loving Wausau, Wisconsin, USA.
Did the average S&P 500 CEOs earn in less than 2 days what their typical worker earned in all of 2023? Yes. In 2023, the average S&P 500 CEO earned about $17 million, or about $46,849 per day, compared to under $64,000 per year for the average worker. Median figures were similar. CEOs made $16.3 million while median workers earned about $81,000, equivalent to less than 2 days of CEO pay. High CEO compensation remains a stark contrast to the modest worker earnings across major U.S. companies. I'm Trisha Young for Wisconsin Watch. Fact briefs are bite-sized fact checks of trending claims produced by Wisconsin Watch and GigaFact. Read more at wisconsinwatch.org.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
The incomparable Jane Mattner.
I have been in radio for 44 years.
It's incredible.
I wanted to be an actress originally. Radio to me was mind theater. Mm-hmm. I could be anybody.
Yeah.
And people could imagine it. It's like reading a book instead of the movie. Is your mind gets to fill in lots of details. And I think that's part of the genuine experience of radio.
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station. And on the app.
Teachers are diverse, skilled leaders, innovating to prepare students for our fast-changing world. Teaching shapes lives. Are you ready? Explore teaching at teach.org, supported by the U.S. Department of Education and 1 million teachers of color.
Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
And welcome back. It is the WXCO Morning Report, part of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on 98.9 WXCO. I'm Chad Holmes along with Ian Welsh, and we are talking this morning to Hillary Hastings and Aaron Knoll. They are from the Central Wisconsin Educational Theater Alliance. We're talking both about a fundraiser coming up on Saturday and also about their upcoming production of Shrek the Musical that will be in February.
Let's go back to Saturday's event. I think we need to kind of hit on it because you're not able to do this without fundraisers like this.
Absolutely.
And to have an event like this be at Greenwood Hills and to have a lot of fun and have a real high-end event. But at the same time, this does allow you to do everything that you do with Sweeta, correct?
Right. Yes, fundraising and grant writing is our way to make it happen. So this weekend at Greenwood Hills, our designer purse bingo is very important to kick off our season of fundraising. And yeah, again, it's going to be pretty awesome. There's lots of amazing bags. And like I said, they're all name brand hire bags.
You forgot to mention Burberry and Kate Spade.
Yes, there's so many.
Louis Vuitton, I think. Do we have a Louis bag or not? This year
we don't. We have a Prada bag that was fabulous. Donated to us. That's pretty amazing. And again, so many raffle prizes too. That raffles are, you can buy one ticket for $5 and you can win a night out at one of our local restaurants, or you can win
hydrofacial.
Yeah,
lots of nice things.
Lots of very.
I
nice
also
things.
Wanted to. Lori would be amiss if we did not mention one of the matinees for the students is dedicated to special needs students. Mm. So not so loud. No.
We don't use like a lot of our smoke that we use. We toned down the lights a little bit. And it's just especially for those kids that need a little bit of less sensory exposure. Mm-hmm. And that is a huge, huge thing that we do as well.
And that's free for students yep. and for their caretakers.
And, yep. And we yeah. usually try to get a sponsor for that event so that mm-hmm. we can give them a special treat too. Mm. Like, you know, kids. Kids and adults love any kind of swag. So
isn't that put together? It sounds like one of the main focuses when you talk about that is to reach maybe groups of kids, and maybe even generally the public, that aren't always reached. It's always about trying to broaden that tent, for bring theater to everybody.
Yep, because, definitely.
And that performance is a good experience for the performers as well mm. because they're having to maybe deal with things that a typical audience wouldn't do, like
correct
certain.
Anybody can be walking around. Some individuals can't sit in their seat very long, or they might be talking when they're not supposed to be talking, mm-hmm. which they, you know, at the theater, you're not supposed to talk when this performance, but it's good for our students to learn that and see and adapt to that.
Again, the Designer Handbag Bingo event at Greenwood Hills Country Club is this Saturday, yep. October 25th. Doors open at 5:30, the bingo at 6:30. For folks that want to get tickets, how do they
yes,
do this?
Yes, please. We have a few tickets left. So you can go to sweeta.org, and it'll be right up front there, and they'll click on the link, and you can buy them on there. They're $50 in advance, and if you want to come that night, they're $60 at the door.
And then we want to, again, let maybe the families and the kids themselves know that the Shrek the Musical, the production is coming up in, is it February of 2026?
Correct. Yep.
But the audition process begins next month, and you have auditions at three different schools. I was looking at that. So a chance to, if you're at Wausau East, Wausau West, or DC Everest on November the 18th, which is a Tuesday, a three-hour block, so a nice big block from 6 till 9 at the Wausau West High School Theater. Then the very next day on Wednesday the 19th, same time at Wausau East, and then the following Monday, November 24th at DC Everest. So again, you're really reaching out to all these schools in the general Wausau area, but as you said, you want kids from other schools to come to these auditions as well.
Absolutely, and so that's why we try to do it on a couple of different days as well, because we know kids are in sports and in other activities, mm-hmm. so we want to give them a chance to audition if they want to.
And if one can't be at our fabulous handbag bingo on Saturday, there are so many ways to donate to our organization. We have sponsorships. We can do ads in our program, in our beautiful program, I might add. And also you can sponsor a performance. So several ways to donate. And you can also go to sweeta.org to find out more about donations.
Yep, I went there and I was able to find out all this great information about both the event and about the shows coming up and everything else, and just generally about SWETA as well. So again, sweeta.org, and you get all that great information. And if you're able to also donate or become a sponsor or anything else, that would be just wonderful as well. But again, I think the number one thing to think about is if you got your Saturday evening free, nowhere better to be than the Greenwood Hills Country Club for
bingo!
Bingo! And who doesn't love bingo, right? Be able to yell out bingo and not only win the bingo, but win some wonderful, wonderful prizes as well.
Absolutely. Yeah. And guys are welcome, too. I've had a couple of people ask me that. Can guys come?
Of course. Could you imagine winning bingo, winning one of these wonderful handbags, and then, you know, being able to give a gift to the special
Christmas
somebody?
Christmas is right around the corner.
You talk about earning some points. I think that's you can earn some big points right there.
Bringing mama home a Prada. I mean, I know my kids are going to be playing this weekend.
Right.
I just think what SWETA does is just so fantastic. And again, to give the opportunity for kids to be able to experience theater. I mean, I never thought of it when I was in high school, but then in college I got involved in it with some friends, and I've been able to be lucky in my life to do a lot of things that I think have been really thrilling. But nothing has ever thrilled me more than being on stage for a show.
It's pretty exhilarating.
It is fantastic. So again, lots to come, and I'm sure before we get to February of next year, we'll have folks from SWEDA come by again and tell us about the show before it comes to stage as well. So
we'd sure love to do that.
So check it out. Get those tickets for Handbag Bingo. Be a big winner on Saturday and also help keep SWEDA very, very strong for the students and the performers here in Central Wisconsin. So Aaron Knoll, Hillary Hastings, thank you both for joining us.
And, thanks for having us.
Best of luck Saturday night for the big event.
Thank you.
Go right to cweta.org and get those tickets again to Saturday night's Handbag Bingo at Greenwood Hills. More to come, Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, and then we'll be back at 7:52 for the WXCO Morning Report on 98.9 WXCO.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, WXCO.
Catch Farm Report updates throughout the day from the Midwest Farm Report right here on 98.9 WXCO. The information vacuum continues to take a toll on commodities. I'm Pam Yonke, starting you off before the opening bell on a Wednesday morning. Quick look at what's happening in agribusiness news. John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend, says without reliable data from government agencies like the U.S. Department of Agriculture, traders turn to things like social media as streams of information. Not necessarily always reliable, definitely not something that can always be verified, but he says they trade it anyhow.
Very much so, and obviously in our modern world of trading now too, with the algo traders and you know they're searching headlines and anything that comes from the administration or just news anywhere just triggers market reaction, and that's some of the volatility that we got in all these markets right now. It makes it just very difficult to manage for producers in terms of protecting risks, things along those lines.
John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend. He said now, because it's so late in October, he fears that if the government doesn't reopen soon, the November World Ag Supply Demand Report will be on the chopping block. He said all the information they release in the November report actually collected in October.
As the weather changes, it can start to impact feed quality. Don't let your cows become the victims of the ration roller coaster. Adding Generator Elite to your herd's ration can introduce beneficial microbials that support gut health and help the herd navigate the highs and lows of feed quality, all while using less than an ounce per day per cow. Learn more about Generator Elite at bio-vet.com.
Innovation, innovation, that's BioVet.
At Steffes Auctioneers, we don't just sell. We guide. Knowing what your equipment or land is worth isn't just a number, it's clarity. It's the first step in making smart decisions for your future. That's why we offer honest, market-based valuations with no pressure to sell. Just insight you can trust. Start with the conversation or start with the valuation. Steffes Auctioneers. We don't just sell, we guide. Not sure where to start? Let's talk. Visit steffesgroup.com right now. That's steffesgroup.com.
On Tuesday, the barrel cheese gained a quarter of a cent to 177.5. 40-pound block cheese was down three at 176.5, and AA butter stood still at $1.58 a pound. This morning, the November Class 3 milk that goes into cheese is right now up 18 cents at 17.16 a hundredweight. December's up two, 16.53 a hundredweight. Currently, December corn is unchanged at 420. March corn unchanged at 434. We've got November soybeans up 2 at 10.33. January soybeans currently 2 cents stronger at 10.51. And July new crop wheat down a penny right now at 5.38.5. I'm Pam Yonke. Farm news that impacts you and your community from the Midwest Farm Report throughout your day on 98.9 WXCO.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Cloudy, blustery, and cold today with an isolated light shower or two, highs only in the mid-40s. For tonight, breezy and chilly with lows in the mid-30s. On Thursday, partly sunny, still breezy and cool with highs only in the upper 40s. Right now, it's 42.
Matt Nair on air.
Attorney General Pam Bondi said that they had arrested the girlfriend of the head of Antifa. Troy from Mount Horeb is on the line. Good morning, Troy. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning. I am the head of Antifa.
You are?
And yes, and I think my wife turned in my girlfriend.
You're in trouble now, Troy.
Matt Nair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Conrad has restless leg syndrome where it's hard to control your leg. And you got to be careful. There's a lot of expensive stuff around this studio. So, what broke over there just now?
A couple speakers.
They just redid the studio. We'll be dealing with,
sorry.
This is a serious thing. All right, what are we going to do here?
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Robert Kennedy Jr. says America is under-babied. What can we do to encourage more Americans to become parents? Dr. Kristen Lyerly joins us. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
Nice to have you back at 7:35 on this Wednesday morning. Now, there are local news updates throughout the course of our show here, 6 to 9 weekdays on the Civic Media Radio Network. But even as those local updates are happening on most stations, we continue yammering over here from Chippewa Falls and Madison. And if you'd ever like to listen into the show that way or watch what we're doing, there's always the Civic Media app where you can tune into one of the other stations that continues to play the network feed. You can certainly watch what we do on YouTube or Facebook. That would be the Up North News Facebook or YouTube pages, or the Civic Media YouTube and Facebook pages. Or you can sign up for us as a podcast. Head over to Spotify or Apple and follow the program that way. And you'll never miss a minute of what it is that we are talking about over here on weekday mornings, like at 7:35, 7:36 now, on Wednesday mornings for our homeroom segment when we talk about public education in Wisconsin and, you know, its many positive qualities and the many threats that are out there from privatization, from people playing politics with our schools, people playing politics with school funding in our state. We have a state funding system that is much more convoluted than it needs to be. And each session of the legislature, every 2 years when they write a new state budget, they try to work around the system as best they can. And in this last state budget, legislative Republicans and Democratic Governor Tony Evers finally reached a deal, but it is a deal that is not exactly sitting well with a large number of school districts that are not seeing much of an increase in general state aids. They're seeing some increased dollars in other parts of the budget, like special education. But on the whole, they're still having a tough time keeping up with inflation, conceivably leading to another record round of school referendums across the state. So joining us to talk more about it is the president of the school board in Viroqua, Angie Lawrence, who was also part of a news conference last week with some state lawmakers to describe the problems in the system and how school districts have to live with the reality of them in the here and now. And Angie Lawrence joins us now from Viroqua. Angie, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Pat. I'm great. How are you?
It's nice to have you. Very well. Thank you very much. So we saw you in this news conference last week talking about the system here, which, again, if you take the party labels out of it and you just look at the system itself, this is not something that you or probably any other school board president would draw up on a napkin someplace and put into effect. And yet you have to learn it and deal with, you know, the realities of the here and now. So let folks know what you were saying last week about general state aid in this new state budget and what it means for school districts like yours.
So number one, we don't even get the budget until October. So that's one of the problems. I mean, school starts, our annual budget starts in July. So I don't know how many businesses run their business by not having a budget until, you know, 5-6 months after their annual year begins. So that's one issue. So when this came out, this recent budget came out and their decisions, it affected a lot of school districts, millions and millions of dollars that they thought that they were going to receive and then they didn't receive. That wasn't the case in our district. We received a little over $8,000 less than what we had anticipated, but it didn't affect us as it did many other schools. What has affected us is the voucher program. So the voucher program, and I can give you an example, the Academy of Excellence in Milwaukee, for example, they are going to receive over $50 million this year from our local taxpayers. Their last year, only 18% of their students only met expectations, 18%. Zero exceeded expectations in language arts. And then in math, only 13% of their students met expectations, with 0% exceeding expectations. I don't know about anybody out there, but if your school district had that type of success or failure, I think that you would be trying to contact the DPI. You would try to get the DPI in there. You would be trying to perhaps close the school because they were incapable of meeting the expectations for children and their educational outcomes. So that's one of the issues. Our school district spent almost $1.2 million from our local taxpayers for the voucher program this last year. So I, once again, you know, we're supposed to provide a high quality of education for every student, and it's just not happening with this voucher program. They have no accountability. They say on the website that they hope that you'll take the test, but if you don't want to, that's all you have to do is send them an email. So they're not even advocating for students to and families to take the test to see how accountable their educational system is in Milwaukee. They also have only 800 of their students actually attend in brick and mortar buildings in Milwaukee. So that means that there's, because they have about 3,700 students in their program, they did last year. And so that means that there's, you know, 2,900 students that are homeschooled, which that was not the intent of the voucher program. And they're not perhaps testing. They don't know if the students are doing the work or if the parents are doing the work. They don't know if the students are taking the test or the parents are taking the test. And there's no accountability for these dollars. So I don't believe that that's our legislators' intent, but that's what's happening. It would be like the Viroqua Area School District saying, we're going to create a voucher school because we have brick and mortar, and we're going to include all of the Amish population, and we're not going to have licensed teachers. We're just going to let them teach, and we're going to let them follow their curriculum, whatever that might be. And then we're going to receive funding for it. And once again, I do not think that's the intent of our legislators, but that is something that could happen that would bring dollars to our school district without us really having to do anything at all. I mean, that's ludicrous. We are not going to do that. But those are the types of things that can happen because of how the voucher program is running. And then you spoke out about referendums. So we have passed two referendi in the last 4 or 5 years. One was brick and mortar. We added a very large technical education component to our school and updated the equipment, which was very much necessary, and then made some repairs that were needed. And that was a $20 million referendum. And we were very, very fortunate to have support of our community. But we did have a failed referendum, and that was operational. And then we had to go back to the community and ask for the dollars again. And that this time when we did pass, it was only for 2 years. So now we're going to have to go to a referendum again in another year to ask our community to assist in funding our school. This costs a lot of money. It's a huge amount of time and effort to explain why we need it. You know, our community, like I said, is very philanthropic. They support schools. But why are we going every 2 or 3 years to referendum? And a big part of it is the state budget. The state budget, you know, only lasts for 2 years. So we never know what's going to happen in the next 2 years. They're going to take money away from us, if they're going to add a small amount, if it's going to meet inflation. So this has become a huge problem for trying to operate our school districts and prepare for the future. And there's also a bunch of inequity. I mean, I could go on and on forever with this, but it's creating more inequity for students because your poor communities are failing at a very large rate their referendum that they're trying to pass. And your wealthy school districts are passing their referendum. And so that's creating, like I said, a huge separation between the haves and the have-nots. And I believe in every child receiving a very high level of education, and I'm sure all your listeners do as well. But why is our state and all our tax dollars not going to the state, and then all of those dollars are being dispersed equally with every student versus having to go to a referendum and trying to pass something and spending, like I said, a very large amount of money, a very large amount of time and energy, and you don't know if it's going to pass or not?
No.
So how do you keep your teachers? How do you keep your programs? It doesn't make any sense.
No, there's such uncertainty as a result of the system. Angie Lawrence is the president of the school board in Viroqua, and we're talking about the many flaws in the system that were frankly only exacerbated by this new state budget. And for all the wisecracks about people talking about, you know, government schools and resources, well, imagine, you know, how much fewer the challenges would be if you weren't skimming nearly $1 billion a year off the top and taking that away and giving it to these schools that are not accountable, that are not nearly as transparent, that are doing things, like you said, where their students are opting out of standardized tests at an alarming rate and leading, therefore, to more referendums. The system, as much as we say there are problems with it, the fact of the matter is the basics are pretty easy to understand. We have a Wisconsin Constitution that says that, you know, education should be supported in as uniform a way as practicable. These are things that we can get back to those standards. There was a Blue Ribbon Commission dedicated to fixing this system with Republicans and Democrats on it, and yet nothing has come of it since. So, Angie, this is just all to say, we can identify the flaws in the system. We can also fix the flaws in the system if we could get lawmakers that wanted to take your concerns seriously.
Well, it's not rocket science. Right. I mean, you're talking about deferring tax dollars, property tax dollars from different communities, having to raise those tax dollars versus the state saying, you know what, we're going to raise taxes and it's all going to go to schools. Not all of the dollars, obviously, but it's going to go to schools so that every child in the state of Wisconsin receives a high quality education. And taxpayers should be able to understand that because they're already paying more in property taxation by passing a referendum. I mean, and schools are fiscally responsible. It's not like we're spending needless dollars to educate our kids. And the budget is not meeting inflation. Our state is becoming funded at a lower rate than all of the others, not all the other states, but it's, I think we're 24th right now. Don't quote me on that, as far as state funding. So we can do way better.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there was once upon a time when Wisconsin was in or near a top 10 for support of our public schools. Some politicians said that was too much. Well, now as we're dropping to the middle of the pack and below, you wonder at what point they're going to say, okay, that's enough. We don't want to fall to the very bottom. Well, unfortunately, it seems like some politicians want exactly that as part of the ongoing push to privatization. And it's what we follow in this segment with good people like Angie Lawrence, who serves as president of the Viroqua School Board. Angie, I really appreciate your expertise and your service. Thank you so much for joining us today to share more of the background about it.
There's one more thing. You know, they say that they're funding students that have some type of a disability, but actually, if you look at how their formula works out, we're not receiving hardly any dollars for students with disabilities.
Exactly. More things to examine there. Thank you. Have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye.
All right. Coming up in the next hour, we'll be talking to Earl Ingram of the What's Going On with Earl Ingram podcast. That and more still ahead. Dr. Kristen Lyerly joining us at 8:35. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
as Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
It's the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Berrio. Businesses across the state counting on $1.5 billion in federal funding are finding out it's not coming. The money had been approved to help pay for energy-saving projects, solar and wind development, technology innovation, and more. The Department of Energy is now reportedly canceling those awards. One group that is getting a boost in federal funding, AI data center developers. The new federal budget lets tech companies claim more upfront tax breaks on data center equipment, facilities, and production lines, and it appears to be working. Microsoft recently announced what it calls the world's most powerful AI data center planned for Mount Pleasant, but environmental groups warn unfettered AI development could cause lasting harm to our natural resources. Knowledge is power. For a deep dive into Wisconsin's most pressing environmental issues, check out my Defender podcast at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Don't act like that. Don't wear that. Don't think that. I've heard everything you tell yourself every time you felt different. And I want you to know that you can be vulnerable and powerful, that taking care of your mind is taking care of everyone you love and who loves you. Love your mind. Find mental health resources at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
Ahoo, this is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we share stories from Turtle Island highlighting the people and issues shaping our communities. From protecting water to treaty rights and preserving languages and traditions, we cover it all. Hear voices like Arvina Martin of Emerge Wisconsin, Dr. Stately, Robert Lilligren, and more. Because Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
Join me, Tom Hartman, each and every weekday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for the Tom Hartman Program right here on Civic Media. I talk about the issues that all Wisconsinites can get behind, from unrigging our economy so it works for all of us, not just the billionaire class, to improving our representative government, to delivering on the promise of we the people. Tune in middays right here on your local Civic Media station from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for the Tom Hartman Program. Tag, you're it.
As Wisconsin is cheering on Bucky Badger. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Good morning once again, everyone. The time is 7:53. Kind of a dreary start here in north central Wisconsin. Some light rain, some mist, some fog out there. Temperature of 41 degrees at our downtown studios, located at the corner of Washington Street and North 3rd Street in downtown Wausau. I am Chad Holmes. It is the WXCO Morning Report, part of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, here on 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. Our first two segments this morning, we had the conversation with Hillary Hastings and Aaron Knoll from the Central Wisconsin Educational Theater Alliance, SWETA. And again, if you missed the interview, we will have it up on our podcast page as part of our show page at WXCO.fm under news. Just go to WXCO Morning Report under Chad, with Chad Holmes. Be able to get the full podcast interview, our full podcast for our local segments here this morning. We'll also have a link to our YouTube interview And also, we will have links to SWEDA and how to get the tickets for Saturday evening's event. Again, it's an opportunity for you to help SWEDA with their artist in residency, and also just for all the costs that go involved in such a big undertaking that helps so many students here in North Central Wisconsin. Saturday evening, their fundraiser, Designer Handbag Bingo, 5:30, doors open, 6:30, the event begins at Greenwood Hills Country Club. So again, go to SWETA, CWETA.org for more information. And again, coming up in probably less than about an hour or so, we will have the show notes up and the podcast and everything at WXCO.FM under news. And then just click on Morning Report with Chad Holmes for October the 22nd. Also, want to let you know that tonight it's another edition of the Big High School Sports Show here on 98.9 WXCO. Myself and former Wausau West Warrior head football coach Jason Foster will review week 9 of the high school season and look ahead here to the playoffs. Level 1 playoffs this Friday for the 11 player teams and second round playoffs for the 8 player. And so we'll talk all about those matchups and more. Plus, we'll be joined by a pair of special guests. Athens head football coach Todd Diethelm will be joining us at 6:30. They are still involved in level 2 play this weekend in the 8-player football playoffs. And then at 7:06, it's our student athlete guest for this week. We'll be talking to Merrill High School senior Hunter Opper. He had himself a big game for the Merrill Blue Jays last Friday as Merrill earned their 6th win of the season in their victory clinched outright a playoff berth, as they'll be involved in the playoffs. But Hunter Opper, in their win over Rhinelander, had 3 quarterback sacks in that game, and he was really a force on the defensive side. So we'll talk about the season and about Merrill's first-round playoff game against Lakeland on Friday with Hunter Opper. So that's all coming up on the Big High School Sports Show, 6 till 8 p.m. right here on 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.FM, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. All right, I have laid the groundwork for the segment. Now it's time to really get things going, introduce our in-studio engineer, our in-studio producer, the one, the only, Mr. Ian Welsh. Ian, good morning.
Good morning, Chad.
I know
there's a dreary yeah. a day out there.
Yeah. It has the feel right now of real fall. I mean, it's where it's cold, it's wet. Yeah, I've got the big thick jacket out today. It really does.
A spooky season, definitely.
And back when I was younger, this was exactly the kind of night it was almost every year for Halloween. Almost every year. It was always cold and wet. Sometimes you'd get actual snow showers. I'm not surprised to see weather like this. And then, by the way, I mean, we are only 9 days away from Halloween.
Yeah, I'll be here before we know it.
Do you do anything special for Halloween, even as an adult?
I try to dress up every year. Even if I can't go trick-or-treating, I still like to dress up in cool costumes. And, you know, if there's any leftover candy that my mom has after all the trick-or-treaters come through, I'm more than happy to help myself to some of that.
Are you going to dress up for us in a week from Friday?
Yes, I
will. Oh, will you, huh?
Yes, I will. I'm not going to tell you, though. But that's right. Halloween's on a Friday this year.
Yeah. You know, maybe I will, too. I'm not going to promise anything. I know what I could. I have, from many years ago, I still have this costume that's just sitting there that has not been worn in a couple of decades, but maybe I will pull it out, see if it still fits, number one, and then maybe bring it in for the show, and then people will have to, then we'll turn on the camera that day for the YouTube videos and go from there. But yeah, so we will see. Okay. We will see,
that's
maybe.
Exciting.
But we'll talk more about this as we get into next week. And I know that we talked a lot about SWEDA this morning. And again, we hope that people can go to their bingo event at Greenwood Hills on Saturday evening.
That's right.
But I know that you are still in the midst of your rehearsals. In fact, I know you have a rehearsal tonight. We're getting about just over 2 weeks until opening night for Sweeney Todd.
Pretty close. I think 2 weeks from this coming Friday is our opening night.
I listened to you, so I know exactly how long it is. Mm. So it's going well? Are you feel pretty good about it at this point?
You know what? The rehearsals have been coming along really well, and I believe it's going to be a very incredible show. The set itself is almost finished, and everybody is working hard. The music is coming along great, and we're all having a lot of fun with this show.
Very good.
It's definitely not your usual theater show, but it's going to be a spectacular show nonetheless.
Terrific. So again, we'll be talking more about that with members of the company in a couple of weeks, the week of the opening, in 2 weeks' time.
That's right.
Coming up, it's 8 o'clock, top of the hour news here on WXCO.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio.
WXCO 1230 AM, W255DN Wausau.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. A TikTok streamer has a court appearance in L.A. a day after he and a U.S. Marshal were wounded by a bullet that ricocheted from an ICE agent during an immigration raid. The streamer's lawyer, Carlos Jurado.
The police officers here know him. They know that he's very respectful. In fact, the city of Los Angeles has awarded him for the work that he does in the community.
The New York Times says the president wants the Justice Department to pay him $230 million for investigations during his first term in office. CBS's Weijia Jiang.
President Trump has long aired grievances about investigations into his conduct, and now he is apparently formalizing them in this form.
Vice President Vance meets with Prime Minister Netanyahu in Jerusalem in a bid to shore up the peace plan for Gaza and a fragile ceasefire there.
What it could allow is an alliance structure in the Middle East that perseveres, that endures.
CBS News Brief.